Okay, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order at 5:31 and 14 seconds. First, we'll do roll call. Eric Stanfield is present. Kay Liam, not present. Mark?
Yes, here.
Present, okay. Present. Brigham, not present. Donnell?
Present.
Vicky?
Present.
Arden?
Present.
Counselor Kojin? Not present. All right. Next, discussion and possible action pertaining to minutes from the Economic Development Advisory Board meeting on May 26, 2026. Do we have any, do we have a motion or discussion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes from May, whenever that was, 27th.
May 26th.
26th. I'll second it.
Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. The minutes are accepted. Do we have any citizens to hear from? I think we do not. Okay, communications. Discussion only pertaining to an update provided by the Economic Development Advisory Board members. I will make one announcement, and that is that I'm going to go ahead and step down from the board. Many of you likely know that my family and I have made a decision to move down to Flagstaff to be a little bit closer to family. I've appreciated working with everyone. I certainly wish we could have gotten more done, but I think folks are in a good position to work with the council, and there's some changeover going there, and we can move forward with that. But I'm still always happy to be available to, you know, discuss things, and, you know, I would continue to support the community in whatever way I can. So I'll still be back up here from time to time from work, but I'll definitely miss it, and I've appreciated working with everybody. And I'll still own a house here, so I may come back at some point. But anyways, that'll be part of the why we're going to be electing a new chair later today, I think, if I recall. So that is my update. Anyone else? Okay. Discussion only pertaining to an update provided by Ms. Judy Franz, Executive Director of the Lake Powell Chamber of Commerce. Judy? Oops, you're on mute.
Yep, here we go, I'm off. Good evening, guys. As we, you know, I keep wanting to come in and say, hey, I've got super outstanding numbers, but you know, it's a little bit better. My month of June was 713, and your numbers might not coincide, but we had a glitch in this report. So this is pretty accurate, but the total number of domestics were 713, but my internationals were 211, which was dismal. I hated seeing that, but that's what it is. And then down a little bit, of course, on all the tours booking, some of that just had to do with rain, some of that had not rain, but people coming in and they just were not booking. They bought, they looked, they saw, but then they wouldn't take it. So that was a kind of an issue for us, but we were just down a little bit on booking tours. And then my top for the domestics was going to be Florida, which was really high. We had a lot of Floridians in, and it was really great to see them. Then we came in second with Wyoming, which was really out of the norm. And then Arizona came in. Texas and California were not in the top, so that was really strange. When you got over to the internationals, Germany was number one instead of France. then we had France, and then we had a lot of Italians. This month so far, we are seeing many more international versus the domestics. So it's flipping this month a little bit. A little bit of hampering this month with the rain, as everybody can see. Negative publicity on the lake has definitely hurt. I had a lot of phone calls from people wanting to come up, do stuff on the water, saying that they'd heard we have no water. So I know Adam is working on that and pushing on it. I'm pushing on it as well. I've been videotaping. I've sent some stuff to Arizona Central. They have not responded. But I did get a call today from Fox 10 News. They're going to interview me on Wednesday. They want to find out the different side of this, because even though the lake is low, we all know that, we have to remember that it's still a beautiful lake. There's 1,400 miles of shoreline, 300 feet of the dam. So we'll see. Between Adam and I and the others in town that there people have been talking to, we're hoping to kind of push back on this sensational media that has been destroying what business would be up here. Although I will tell you, my husband and I filmed both marinas and every parking lot that was there 3 weeks ago. There wasn't a parking spot to be had. So they are out on the lake. They're just not getting in town like we'd like to see them get in. You know, they're kind of venturing in here and there. So I'm just really pushing with the businesses to try to get them, you know, do you have any discounts you're offering, whatever, just to get people in the door. And then also for the locals, they got punch cards and things, because that's what's going to keep them coming 365 days a year. So I'm trying to come up with ideas for the businesses to kind of give a break to people, to get them in the doors, keep them coming in, and hoping that maybe July is going to be a little bit better. I'm looking at the numbers so far. They're looking, I'm not excited about it, but it's not over. So we'll see what happens. We might kick in at the end. Beyond that, we're just working on Page Chamber Street Fair, which is going really well. We're going to be putting in an actual food court this year versus the food being mixed in with everybody. And that's going to be great for the vendors, because those that have arts and crafts and clothing and stuff, it's kind of hard when you got the food vendors all stuck in between. So we've been working on that, and it'll be 2 days this year, November 6th and 7th. And then following that in December, we're going right into the Best of Page, which is going to be really awesome. This year, we have some really great, great, great auction prizes coming in. So that's another great thing we're going to be doing. Other than that, business has been slow. I can't deny that. We are trying to get people in the door and, you know, buying stuff, doing tours. But people are holding onto their wallets, and there's no doubt about that. We're hearing that a lot, that sometimes they're still saying the prices are too high, they can't afford it. Probably the number one tour right now because of the heat are boat tours. We're getting a lot of those coming in. They'll do boat tours because it's out on the water. It's cool. We're trying to schedule the Slot Canyon tours early in the morning, because then they're out of the canyon. So we're doing whatever we can to take advantage of all the great businesses in town. So that's really my report. If anybody has any questions.
Judy, I don't know if this is a question, but I wonder if some of the framing on the marketing, yes, the lake is low, but it's also different than when people may have experienced it at other times. And so I wonder if it might be a good opportunity to say, you know, hey, come and see what's changed, because it is a different experience, right? Like, you're in a different place.
My husband is going to be with on Wednesday. He's going to come in. I interviewed him in the car. He was my chauffeur. He was driving me around. I was filming. And I interviewed him, and I sent that on to Mason Carroll at Fox 10. I did send it to Arizona Central. They never even responded. But he mentioned, that's what he talks about exactly, Eric, is that what it is now is like you're seeing it pre-dam stuff, which is so cool, because you're seeing all these canyons and beaches and things. I've talked to a ton of the people that have been out on the lake. They're emailing me, and they're telling me how beautiful it is. So, yeah, I'm pushing that. I already told her, I won't do an interview if it's going to be negative. And the problem is I tell everybody two things. If you read a headline that just says, hey, come to Lake Powell, it's beautiful, nobody wants to really go in and dive into that headline. But put a headline in there that says, doom and gloom, there's no water in Lake Powell, we're going Deadpool, everybody's slamming on it. And that's what these newspapers are doing everywhere. So I will do my best to keep pushing back. I know Adam has been working on it too. We're just trying to do whatever we can do. And I'm telling the businesses, if people talk to you about it, You got to turn it around because these guys have got to be turned around a bit. There are people out there, unfortunately, that want the dam down. That's their whole goal. They want it to go back to where the river just runs through it. No motorized vehicles, period. It's not going to happen. You don't go backwards. We got to go forwards. So that's my direction, Eric, where I'm going.
Right. Does anyone else have any questions or comments? All right, Judy, it looks like you got off the hook pretty easily that time.
I did. So thank you, guys. Yes. I'm still on here. I'm just going to take my video off.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for joining.
Okay. You bet. Thank you.
Next up, discussion only pertaining to an update provided by Debbie Moses, Executive Director of Glen Canyon Conservancy.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I kind of ditto what Judy was talking about. We've definitely, for June, saw a decline in visitation. With Carl Hayden, we are experiencing about a 10% decline over last year. Navajo Bridge is down about 20%. And Glen Canyon Visitor Center, we're just kind of holding our own. We don't see as many visitors as like the hub does. And I also went back to 2024, and the numbers in June are showing like a 16% decline over 2024. So it seems to be this little continuing thing. However, I want to thank the economic development team. They had asked me to be a part of a couple interviews, so maybe alongside Judy, and I was trying to give some positive feedback of like all of the things that you can do if you visit Carl Hayden and Paige, and what you can still do in Lake Powell. So I don't know if those has that aired yet.
Not yet.
Okay. I'm really interested in seeing the one for the Chinese station because I don't know if I'm going to be dubbed in Chinese. The staff was like, we want to see that. So I don't know if that's the case. But even with that, we're doing all right. The ones that come in the store do seem to purchase their souvenirs. So that's great. We're kind of holding our own there. I wanted to give you just an example of a couple things that, you know, I've mentioned that our mission is to support visitor services through the National Park Service, and a couple projects that we were still able to fund right now is we have purchased a wheelchair ramp for Weaver House down at Lonely Dell Ranch, and you may think that that should be just part of their budget, but it's not. So just to give you an idea, because that will help in accessibility down at Weaver House. And then also, you know, you've heard of those reduction in force, and the Park Service is still dealing with that aspect. And we are funding an intern during the month of August and December to help at the information desk at Carl Hayden, because that is open all of the time. So just to give you an idea of our mission there. And then, we are putting on a variety of events with different partners. The first Friday, just to encourage you to come out to that, August 7th with Grand Circle Arts Alliance. We're partnering with the city on Powell Days. Apparently that is something that used to be in the community a long time ago, and that'll be August 22nd. And I know Lisette will be getting information out about that. And then we are also doing a Art in the Park in September. We did the first one last year. It was just called a plain air workshop and reception, but that title doesn't sound fun. So we renamed it Art in the Park, and that'll be September 18th and 19th. And I'll talk to your staff about that. I mean, maybe that is something to partner on. And then another thing that we are doing in our store visitor center here is we have moved the topographical map from the museum over to our store, and we received a couple grants through Arizona Community Fund in Coconino County. We're going to do like mini, I would call it a mini museum. Maybe we're going to call it Discovery Zone or something like that, so we can still provide some of that educational background to visitors and locals who would like to come in. So that should go in production about the end of this month. And then on that on that same note of the museum, we are still selling the building, unfortunately. We are in between realtors, and so the board is deciding what's our next step. But there's not a sign up right now. But if you'd like to buy it, please talk to me. But just an update with the archives. We did move all of them from a rental facility into the museum. And Amanda and volunteers spent like the last year accessioning all of the items and organizing everything, and it's all in order at the museum. And we're going to start uploading it to the software that we have so that eventually it could be all digitized. And so it's still a service that we're providing the community. And what I'd like to offer to you guys and to the city council, and I can work with Adam if there's any interest, is inviting you guys over to take a look at what I mean by archives. And Amanda can give an idea of some of the cooler objects and what is a part of the archives that should be of importance to our entire community. So if you're interested in that, I could try to work on a time. I know that there's some sort of, like, not all city council people can be in the same room together, but if anyone is interested, I'd be happy to do that. So, that is my report. Are there any questions?
Is the wheelchair ramp going to go clear up to the And Lonely Dell, is it going to go clear up to the homestead house?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't seen it actually in use. It's on its way here. I think it's to get it into the house.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's something you can, it's not permanent. You can take it away or put it down.
Right.
Yes.
But they still have to go through the gravel or the sand to get up to the ranch.
Oh, probably. Right. Yeah. Maybe that'll be the next thing they ask us about. But yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I assume it's in the front door going up the steps, because that's where the steps are.
Yes.
Because it was converted into a, sorry, this was my project when I worked for the Park Service.
Yes, you
it was converted into
a,
like a meeting space. Mm-hmm. And so it'll make it more usable for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Judy had her hand up.
Oh, go ahead, Judy.
Hey, I was just going to ask you, Debbie, now on the archives, are you asking people to display? I mean, is there stuff that could be displayed? Because we do have some archive stuff that the chamber was left that I have a little case and all. And if there's something we could display, we'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, that is, we would be open to that. We've had, okay. Like the Wesley has met with Amanda, and they have picked a few things to display.
Brendan and I'll get together and get with you on that, and or Amanda, and then just set up a time to go do that. And yeah, because we'd be happy to. I have like some dam pictures and things that are on the wall. People love looking at that, but I have room to go display some, and I'd be honored to put some in our chamber.
Okay. And there may be something, since I'm not, I don't know all of them by heart like Amanda does. There may be some information specifically about the chamber.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll come check that out, definitely. I do have one more thing, Eric. I'm sorry, I forgot when I was talking. We did develop a new trip planning on our, we have a landing page for the hub now where people can go in. They are actually able to go in and tell us what they're looking to go do, how to, when they want to go do it, where they live, what their time zone is. That has been successful. We just launched it a couple weeks ago, also with a new guy who is doing reels for us. He also does Lake Powell paddleboards. He's pretty clever. So we're hoping that's going to draw in some more people for us as well.
Very nice. Back to the archives. May I ask, is that city property, or who actually owns the archives?
I guess we do. No one else has wanted it. It's a service we provide.
What do the archives contain? And part of the reason why I'm asking is because, you know, these types of records, if they're old city records and community records, I mean, it's more than just sort of like a recreational or point of interest use. I mean, there are, you know, legal issues that come up that need research, all of these kinds of things. Or, you know, for interpretation, like when you're putting together kind of community information, there's all kinds of different uses. And so I'm curious if this may not be directly for the Conservancy, this question, but it seems like there's a possibility of losing a good deal of information there. And I think that could impact us long-term in a way that could be problematic. You know, we might not care now, but in 50 years, you know, not having something like that around, I think could be
We still have it, so I don't.
It's the Conservancy's property.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that was what I was asking.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it's community records that we have.
So it's not the city's records.
No.
Okay.
You
Francis. No.
It's about the city. It's about the dam. It's everything about the creation of the city. It's everything. We could rebuild the dam.
I guess what I'm saying is the city should have an interest in taking care of that. And I think that that has come up to council. And I think it's quite unfortunate that they weren't supportive of it, because you lose a lot more than is obvious, I think, by losing archives and records and things like that. But I guess that's more of a statement than a question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I guess at this point, we are taking care of them, and we are organizing them and going to digitize them as far at this point. Yeah. So.
Did somebody else have?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. All right, next we have staff reports, discussion only pertaining to an update provided by Adam Geller, Public Information Officer for the City of Page.
All right, thank you. As noted, we've been hosting quite a few film groups in Page and the surrounding area to help promote our community. The first one was Road Trippin', which is an NBC show out of Las Vegas. And originally they came out to do 4 segments, each segment to be released 1 week apart. And so now we're actually gonna be doing 6 segments. So for the next 6 weeks in Las Vegas, broadcast news, we'll get a little plug for Page. Each one's about 5 minutes. Also the city, because it's a sponsored promotion, will get all of this content to use for our own marketing, which will be good, so that we can promote a lot of that on our own. It was a really well-rounded set of interviews and locations that we visited. So it's content that the city doesn't currently have a lot of. And that's what we're trying to do now, is really focus on getting some B-roll and some really good footage and interviews to tell our story. And when we own the rights to this content, then we can use it in all of our marketing. We can edit it and revise it in a way that fits what we're trying to do for our target audience. So we had that one, and then we also had Phoenix TV, which is an LA-based Chinese broadcast channel. We do get a lot of visitors from China, but not only that, a lot of Chinese Americans visit Page as well. And Los Angeles is very populated with Chinese that would potentially want to visit Page. So we were able to get quite a bit of footage after 4 days of filming, a lot of good interviews. With them, we actually obtained the Navajo Nation film permit. We were able to get some footage in the canyon. So I went with them, and we got a lot of good footage for the city. Then this week, AOT's drone operator is out here doing a promotional video for Page. Now, they previously did one for the North Rim that turned out very nice. It's a really high quality cinematic video where they had talent and a full production process to create something that is really high quality. And so now they're doing it for Page to help us out. And we'll actually get all of the footage, not just the final product, but all of the B-roll and the drone footage that we can again use in our marketing. So we're really trying to do a digital first marketing plan for this upcoming fiscal year, and that includes a lot of video and streaming, YouTube ads and things. And so having all of this content is really just going to help us put it all together to create things that we need that we didn't have before. So that's one thing that I've been really busy with the last few weeks is going out on location and helping out with those productions. And Jacqueline has assisted in coordinating all of that and has been really helpful in that process. Because these productions do take a lot of work and a lot of coordination on the back end to make sure that they're successful. Also going forward, we're working on our international marketing plans. So we have a really defined set of KPIs for these international marketing plans. The objective is that for every dollar that we spend in advertising, we want to see that money directly returned into the local economy. And that's where we really, that's our ROI that we really need that data to support. And that's kind of the base case. We don't want to do any marketing where we don't really see the results. And so what we're doing for international marketing is we're working on the bottom of the funnel, meaning these are people that are evaluating trips to the Southwest. They're shopping for different hotels and attractions that they want to do. And this is where we reach them with OTA marketing. So TripAdvisor, Booking.com, Kayak, these are all OTA sites. And so what we're doing is we're putting our ads on people that meet a set of criteria that we establish so that we can really promote Page to the people that are likely going to come. And the great thing about those is that we get all of the data. So if they do decide to book in Page and we showed them an ad and they were looking at other locations, not just Page, we can kind of chalk that up to, you know, that they're someone that we converted. That's a conversion. And so we look at the value of that conversion, and you know, that's what we want to be at, a 1-to-1, where for every dollar we spend, that money is going directly back into the economy. So that's been the case. At the end of fiscal year 26, we did a campaign for France. We spent about $5,000 on that one, and $6,500 was put back into the community. So kind of using that as the litmus test to continue on with this type of advertising. And so now we've developed a plan with six other countries for this fiscal year that we're going to go aggressively and target. And not only that, we're also going to do social media posts that are translated with Brand USA. We actually have page-oriented websites in six other languages, Spanish, Italian, Korean, quite a few others. And then the one that Brand USA doesn't do is Chinese. And so we've gone and used AI to convert a lot of our tourism pages to Chinese, including our Grand Circle interactive map that we have that's now available in Chinese. And so we're going to go out and start promoting all of those all that translated content and posts to help out with that international marketing plan. So that's something that we really haven't done before. We've primarily focused on domestic marketing, and we still are focusing mostly on domestic marketing. So 1/3 is international and 2/3 is domestic. And the reason why is because domestic marketing is a lot easier to get people here. We need tourists here now, not in the future, you know, and so that's where we get the quickest payoff to try to make those conversions and bring people out. So we're also doing an extensive domestic marketing plan, and a lot of that involves engaging local news. News in Salt Lake City, news in Las Vegas, news in Los Angeles, and Phoenix as well, our core drive markets. And so we're really targeting that. We're kind of getting away from some of the sports advertising that we did previously and just focusing more on that broadcast news segment. And part of that includes a lot of streaming too, because not everyone has cable and is watching it on the news. A lot of people stream their news now. And so part of those packages, we get that as well, which is good. And then we're also doing our own streaming ads on YouTube now, which has been pretty effective. We can actually follow the traffic in the funnel and see what people do once they click on those ads. So now just a little overview of some of the economic numbers that we are looking at. We did get the May sales tax collection report, and while the month of May is down 9% compared to 2025, which sounds on the surface sounds like a big deal, and it is, but if you look at 2023 and 2024, it's still ahead of those years. So 2025 was an exceptional year for tourism here, and so we can't really compare it directly to that. But the slowdown is here, and it is real, and we are seeing in occupancy, we're seeing some larger slowdowns. But as far as our restaurants and retail, those are doing good, and we're not really seeing as much slowdowns as we are in hotel occupancy and RevPAR data. And so what we can do, we don't have the June sales tax data yet, but we can look at the CoStar data that we do have, and that's showing even more significant downturns in RevPAR and occupancy. But we don't anticipate that will affect the sales tax revenue as substantially as those numbers indicate. So it's slow, and a lot of that can be attributed to the high fuel prices that people are paying now at the pump, as well as just a lot of the negativity surrounding the water levels in the lake. So, you know, as it was mentioned, that's really our core focus right now, and that's one of the benefits to advertising with local news is, you know, at the same time we're running positive stories about Lake Powell, and then they're talking about the water level. So we kind of create that balance on our own by doing that. So let's see what else. So we have our digital passports that have been actually pretty successful, I would say, so far. We get about 10 to 15 a day that people are signing up, and a lot of it is the data. We can see where people are going, the activities that they want to do, and so not only are we encouraging people to stay in page longer, but we're also kind of getting that firsthand data of what they're doing when they're here, which is useful. So we have the 48 hours in page, which is all page-centric, local, and there's exclusive offers that we've partnered with businesses to offer on there. So if people download the app, they can get some special deals that are only available through the app. And then the more places that they visit, the more points they earn, and then they can redeem those for prizes. And we've had quite a few redemptions already for those prizes. Thank you, Jacqueline, for helping send some of those out for us. And at the end of it, they're going to be entered into a drawing to win a kayak, so that's some extra incentive for those to participate. And they're translated into Spanish and Chinese, so part of our international marketing plan will be to drive those visitors to those apps so that they can be encouraged to stay here longer. I would say overall, we are seeing a slowdown, but the city is working hard, and we're doing a really big push right now to try to counteract that in any way we can, including a lot of the messaging surrounding the lake levels and whatnot. So I'm optimistic that things will recover. AOT anticipates international tourism will be mostly recovered by 2028. So there is light at the end of the tunnel, And that's it for me. Any questions? Sure.
The digital passport, I know I signed up for that, Jacqueline. I don't remember, though, what we said we would give. Can I talk to you out offline?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Because I don't, if somebody came into GCC, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to give them. I kind of forgot about that.
Okay, so it sounds like you need to get onboarded, so.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get together for that.
Okay.
Adam, I'm curious, is as a part of marketing, I suppose some of it is marketing towards industries. Primarily ours is travel, right? Tourism. But in the past, there have been a lot of kind of TV and film opportunities that have come through Page. Do we make efforts to invite any of that in? I'm just curious because I recently saw a spaghetti western from the 1980s and I thought, man, it would be nice to film Thunder Warrior 2 around here. I don't know if anybody knows what that is.
We don't have a car lot anymore.
But in seriousness, I mean, do we do any sort of like outreach for that sort of thing? Because it would be fun to see more spaghetti westerns filmed over here.
We do. So we're part of the Arizona Commerce Authority's film department, and what that includes is we pay a certain amount every year for them to help promote us as a film location. So as people apply for permits through the state and mention that they have projects, we're then on their short list to refer. And what that also includes is their Reel Scout, so that includes all the locations. Part of what we did a few months back was kind of go through those and see if we can update some of the photos. And also, not only locations, but local residents can submit vehicles and any kind of artifacts of interest like that that could be useful for filming. And we did run a Facebook campaign to try to promote people to submit new locations and vehicles so that when film productions do come to town, they have some resources that they can use. And Arizona Commerce Authority also has a database of talent and film industry professionals that are in the area that they can call on when these productions do come through. So we are actively working on trying to bring in film. Another point to that is that we recently made some modifications to our filming page, and we've added a lot more context and information to make it easier for productions to come in. So we've included the film permit instructions for Navajo Nation, for BLM Arizona, BLM Utah, as well as how to film in the parks and what's involved with that. And so we've linked to all those other agencies. And then we've also linked back to ACA. And this new page, you can find it on our choosepage.com website that we launched. I don't know if I mentioned that we did go live with that site, and all the updates as far as my economic development reports are on there. We have all the commercial listings in town on there. And then that new film information, that's going to be the home for that. It's on there already. So that's it. And we're always welcome to hear more suggestions for filming. If there's any way that we can reach out, if anyone has any ideas and wants us to reach out, we're willing to do that.
I have a question.
Okay.
What about tax incentives to have movies in around Lake Powell? Because they're all going to Utah.
Yeah, so that is through ACA, and I know that there was some changes to the gift clause that limited what they can offer. But they still do offer quite a few incentive programs, and that's all on their website. I think there's an across-the-board 10% basically a reimbursement for the money spent that in communities that are part of the program. They have some other incentives as well. But as far as the city offering incentives, we really don't charge that much for the permit, but we can waive the permit fee, And also that our permit fee can be reimbursed by the state as well, so.
What is our fee?
All of our fees are on that film permit website, webpage that we created,
okay,
based on our current fee schedule. So there is a $1,000 deposit that needs to be made, and then certain locations have fees associated with them. For example, the amphitheater, I think, is $290 a day for filming. And then generally there's another $20 processing charge for the film permit as well. But our fees are really low for what we're offering.
Yeah.
And we do that intentionally to try to bring productions into town and generate some revenue.
So you think the Arizona Film Commission, as far as Lake Powell goes, they're only offering a 10%?
I believe at this time, and they said that they are going to be making some adjustments to that, but all of their incentive information is on their website.
Can you tell me what the website is again, please?
It's for the exact film one. If you just go to the main ACA website, they have a drop down menu item, I think, for the film.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
How many permits do you guys get in a year, approximately?
So far, since I've been here, we've got 2 film permits already, I think that there's just a lot of factors in play. You might not get any for a while, and then you could get a huge production. So it's kind of random in how they come in, but I think that if we don't get a substantial amount, then I think that we could probably invest some marketing funds to try to do more outreach. And so I think, 2 in the last 8 months isn't all that great. And I think that if that trend persists through the summer, then we need to increase our marketing efforts to try to bring more film production out here.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, I don't know how far back we have records on that kind of stuff, but it would be interesting to see what it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, things like that. Not that anyone needs to go out and do that research, but it would be interesting to kind of see what the film industry has looked like by numbers in the community.
I could probably tell you in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
Because we worked on just about everyone that came in. Thunder Warrior, we sold them all the cars.
If anybody hasn't heard of it, look it up on YouTube.
Oh, you got it.
You might be upset
about it.
Anyways. Okay, well, that's good, because that's not something that we've talked about quite in that detail. I know that's a little bit of a digression, but I appreciate it. I was thinking about it because one of the greatest assets our community has is visuals, mm-hmm. and that's literally a way that you can sort of turn those views into benefits without necessarily having a real heavy tourism impact and drawing people toward it. So, that's good to know about. Does anyone else have any other questions for Mr. Geller? Okay. We will go ahead and move on to discussion and possible action pertaining to an update regarding the facade improvement program.
Okay, yep, that's okay. That can be me. So I'm not entirely sure the backstory on when this originally was presented to this board, but I'm aware that this board did work on the facade improvement program in its early stages. And so there's been a lot of interest to bring this back. And so I think the first step that we did is just did a staff review of the current program. It never was a current program because it never went into effect, from my understanding. Or we never accepted any applicants. So we did have all the paperwork from that, and we reviewed it, and we made a couple of changes just in the way the program works. And it was included in the agenda packet, so just so I know how much to explain. Did everyone have a chance to review the current program, or do you want me to kind of go over that
over
again?
It, please.
Okay, no problem. So the way it's written now is there's a maximum of $15,000 that can be awarded per APN, not per business. And so they would, it's a funds matching, so they would have to contribute an equal amount, one-to-one, to receive the award. And the intent of this is to beautify and improve the look of a lot of the local businesses here in town, especially ones that could use some help. And so we, as you know, the downtown beautification project is moving forward. We expect to start construction in 2027, and this kind of is adjacent, I would say, to that program. It's something that now extends beyond the downtown core and more in the entire commercial core of the Mesa. There's a map that's included in the agenda packet that shows the updated area that we're considering. So that's one of the changes, was to expand that. Another change that's notable is that the city is requesting that the property owners file a deed that enables the city to go in and make repairs on the facade should some of those improvements go delinquent. So if there are issues with paint and signage and things like that, part of being able to accept the funds from the city include that. So that stays with the property, that'll be registered with the county. And so that's something new. And from my understanding, that's necessary because of also changes in the gift clause. And so that's what allows us to bring this program back and continue it forward. And that was a necessary change that we had to do to be able to do that. And so what types of repairs are qualified in this program? Previously, some of the things that we removed were landscaping. We didn't want landscaping to be a part of it because, you know, landscaping is hard to maintain. It can die. We wanted more permanent changes and things that are going to last if the city's going to put funds into it. And so the idea was paint, windows, doors, signage, lighting, anything permanent. It could be railing. It could be anything that it could be repair oriented. It could be roof repair. It could be anything that is a substantial change that is going to last and improve the overall look and usability of the building. So that's primarily the focus of the program. And I think some of the things that the board could really look at could be in some of the details of how we administer it, how we approve the applications. Is that something that the EDAB board would like to look at individually, or would we want a separate committee to review those? Staff will be reviewing them to make sure that for compliancy, that the application is correct and that that applicant basically has met all the requirements to move forward. But in the event that we have, you know, multiple applicants and not enough funds to provide for all of those applicants, we'll need some kind of rubric. And then also another thing I think that the board could look at is, do we want to do this by APN? Or do we want to do it by business or by individual? Do we want to award one individual per year, one business per year, one property per year? So these are some of the details that I think the board could work on and help us as the city to really see what the needs are in the community and what would be the most beneficial in getting those funds out there and hopefully having them make a difference. So I think that, you know, this is kind of the beginning stages of this process. We're not going to have a completed document today. This is kind of the introduction to bringing it back, and I encourage the board members to discuss and think about ways that the city can implement this in the best way.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
Explain the deed process. Like if a business wants to come in with their $15,000 and the city comes in, what are you talking about, a deed
process? So it's basically assessed on the parcel. So even if the property is sold, it's something that lives with that property. And what it means is that if the city is going to put funds into making these repairs, that the city also has the right to come in and maintain them if they're not properly maintained. And so the idea is that if we're doing this beautification to clean up the look of the businesses, we want it to be taken care of and we want it to last. We don't want to have to do it again in a number of years. So the idea is if the property owner cannot maintain the improvements, then the city does have the right to go in and maintain those improvements and then bill the property owner. And so that basically gets written into the deed with the county and lives on with the property. So that's and it's necessary now because of the gift clause. So it's something that you know, that's one way that the city kind of maintains ownership of those improvements, and that we're not just giving money away to individual businesses, that there is a benefit to the whole city and a continued benefit for a certain amount of time. And in this case, we were looking at a 10-year time frame for that to be in effect.
Do they have to live here in Page, or can they live in California and own a business and apply for that?
Yeah, there's no residency requirements for the program. So if a business owner is out of state and they still want these improvements done to their property, it has to be a commercial property. It can't be residential property. And has to be located in the core commercial district outlined in the plan. But yeah, that's right now, as far as it's written, it's there's no restrictions on the residents.
So it's the commercial district up here on top, right?
Yes.
On top of the Mesa, okay.
And that extends to the street of Little Motels, to Vista, and some of the service commercial properties along there. So the original one was more the core downtown area. This is a more expanded one. And council has voted to allocate $200,000 in the budget for fiscal year 27.
Oh,
so the funds are there for this. And so should they decide to move forward, then it will be a viable program.
So included in that area is everything over by kind of Ken's, like behind the Best Western, into that kind of.
That's
okay,
all
that's
included
really
as well.
Okay. A comment I have, or maybe it's a question, the downtown revitalization project will come with a certain aesthetic, right? I assume that they'll describe that so that it can be kind of continued when we make other improvements. It's kind of the baseline. Are we thinking about using that in here on some level to help, you mentioned like a rubric, including some of those design elements and styles?
So
as a way to encourage continuity?
We haven't received any type of finalized style manual or designs for the downtown beautification project at this time. So none of that was included in this program. I think that you know, the idea is, for since it is a wider encompassing area, we're not really looking at trying to apply a specific style manual to these facades at this time, and you know, and staff wouldn't recommend doing something like that, I think, from what we've discussed, but the board could discuss that, I think, in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think it had to be anything strict, but if you're scoring things, you know, compatibility with existing, you know, programs is like 1 point, you know, something like that, not necessarily strict adherence.
Right. One thing to note that when it involves signage, it's going to have to adhere to all of our current signage code that we have. So, it, you know, if they want to update a sign that wouldn't be up to our code and current standards, that wouldn't be allowed under this program. So it would have to be code compliant with all of that.
What do you guys think about what does the board think about, you know, being involved with review of that sort of thing? And this is just discussion, obviously, but I'm curious.
I would love to be involved with that. I've been here 50 years. So I'd love to.
Yeah.
I would like it, too. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes, sir, please.
Thank you. Frank Marbury, City Manager. Just want to mention one thing for the board to consider too. With this board meeting once a month, depending on the level of detail of review, time could be a concern when reviewing individual applications or something like that. So,
could we call for a work session for the board so we could
go over applications?
I mean, even though we meet once a month, we could call for a work session.
Well, just in general, boards usually are recommending bodies to counsel on policy matters. I'm not sure how much involvement the board has on the, to me, it's almost more of an administrative issue that the board would help set the guidance for those applications. But the actual processing of the applications, I think the city attorney would say that's more administrative, but we can get some recommendations from him as well. So
more like guidance on the kinds of standards and practices in terms of policy.
Correct. Yeah, right. like things like you said about whether or not we want it to adhere to the color palette that the downtown beautification uses, I think was maybe some of the examples you were looking at, things like that as a policy. For example, the airport board just had something come up with the hangars at the airport, and what they voted on was the location of the hangar. They didn't vote on the actual individual permit because that was already established in council's fee schedule as far as that go. But as far as where to place the hangars and the location of the airport of that, they had involvement in that. So I would think this board would, it might work more functionally, or function better if it was more, like you said, guidance on the standards and the recommendation to council of what they put into place as opposed to reviewing each individual business application.
Yeah, so putting together some kind of like scoring or something like that. I mean, it's hard to say because we don't know how competitive it'll be. I mean, if you have $200,000 up and each one is a max of $15,000, most likely all wouldn't be a maximum of 50. So you have like several projects, but it's not gonna be that many, right? So trying to design kind of a scoring system or something like that would be good. Any other thoughts or questions? So maybe that's something that we'll leave on there, and or do we want to make a decision about participating in it in a certain way like that, or do we need to deliberate a little bit more? What do folks think?
What do you think, Adam?
Well, it's up to the board to decide. I think it's you know, we can just give the staff recommendation. I think that, you know, we're still working out some things with this program. It's kind of in the early stages. And I think, you know, the board probably would want to really review the document and then kind of see where they'd want to go with the program, and then ultimately it would be recommended to council with either as is or with these modifications based on what the board thinks. But I know the board did work on this previously and so has some familiarity with it. That's why primarily I just wanted to go over the changes that staff made, the big one being the deed portion added on. And I think the amount was changed too. It was 10,000 originally, now it's 15,000. We can't go over 15,000 due to our procurement rules that we have with the city. So as far as it could be less, but probably not more. And the advantage to less is you could service more businesses. So, you know, if it's 5,000 or 10,000, a lot more businesses could get it. But like you said, we don't know the demand and how many applications we're really going to get at this time. So some of those questions are a little hard to look at, I think.
So do you want to bring this back at a later date?
I think so.
Since it's just in the beginning stages.
And I think, you know, if the board could just familiarize themselves with the documents that we had included and maybe just highlight some items, and then we just bring it back up for discussion next month and then see if we want to push that forward.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. If I may, Mr. Chair, maybe... could we, Adam, maybe come up with a sample application or maybe some scoring criteria for the board to review?
Yeah, we can present that and as a starting point, and then, okay.
When is it expected to kind of go live, just for thinking about a time frame or the goal? I realize it won't happen until everything's decided, but what is it, like a 2027 kind of?
Yeah, it's for this fiscal year. And in fact, all the applications, we'd probably set a deadline to receive the applications because it then also takes time to get the work done. So if we had a February deadline, possibly that would make sense because we would have to issue payment before June 30th. Well, actually, the project would have to be completed by June 30th. We'd have a little, maybe 2 weeks of leeway of issuing payment. But if, you know, if the deadlines weren't met, then it would no longer be part of this fiscal year and where those funds are allocated.
So I have a crazy question. If I owned a business and I put in 15,000 and you put in 15,000, is there any way I could pay you back and get you off the deed?
We would have to discuss that with the city attorney to see if that's a possibility.
Okay. Just ask.
Right, and I think, Adam, you did say that was basically Josh put that in there because of the new legislation about the gift clause and everything like that.
Yeah, the program wouldn't really be able to move forward without that legally. So that's kind of a requirement now, thanks to some of those changes.
And it's not mandatory to take that money, right?
Debbie has a question.
Mandatory to take the money?
Yeah, like the 15,000. I own some property on the area, so I don't want a deed on there.
Uh-huh.
No, I think what he's saying, Adam, is if he wants to do some work on his frontage, can he do that without applying for this grant? And I think the answer would be yes.
We plan to do it, but we don't want outside resources, nor do we want to borrow or have someone have a deed on our deed. So
it's, yeah, and it's not a deed per se, it's just a restriction, sort of a notice.
Yeah.
So it's
I'm all about less government.
Yeah. And you can talk to the state's legislature too. This is their infinite wisdom that with the gift clause. So we sometimes get stuck with the good intentions.
Yep.
Debbie, did you have something?
If I may. Just a suggestion with timing. You mentioned February, or maybe that was just thrown out there.
I think if repairs and stuff, if we wouldn't find out that we got it until February and how long it takes for someone to come and actually do something to your business and repair it, you might want to push that application up a couple months so that then a business would have, you know, 4 or 5 months to get it done before June if that was a hard deadline.
Right.
You know, because it does like take a long time to get someone to actually show up and do work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would add to her point that just to me is more incentive to get this to council quicker or sooner rather than later, because the sooner the better, than as far as once we can't really act until council votes on it. So, but there is money in this fiscal year. As city manager, my goal would be is if this is successful, it would be a good argument for council to fund another round next fiscal year that, you know, if we had everything set up, you could get started in July accepting those applications. But again, the funding, we can't obligate future budgets for programs like this. So that's why it's limited to this fiscal year.
Depending on the expenses that are the work that has to be done to these businesses, that will determine whether it's going to be put out for bid or will the city just go in and do it?
It wouldn't have to be put out for bid because it's under our $15,000 procurement amount. So, in fact, we're looking at even doing a retroactive component for businesses that have already spent money improving their facades. If they qualify for all of the criteria, with the exception of that they did this previously several years ago and they have all the supporting documents and receipts, then we could potentially accept that application and then reimburse them for money that they've already spent.
I know that in the past when this is done, and maybe it was like in 2019 or something like that, one of the complaints was that a lot of businesses didn't know that it was a thing, and so I think kind of advertising it and getting it out through you know, Judy and the chamber and all of these ways that we know how, I think will be more important than it might seem, because I think that was one of the little tripping points before, because I know the Conservancy actually put an application in and then that somehow
I understand my predecessor did. Yeah.
Did any money get distributed in there?
No, I don't think it ever worked. Because I think there were legal issues, which is why you guys are doing what you're doing now.
Okay.
So it was a good idea, but I think it wasn't ready for rollout yet. That's kind of flopped.
That's why we want to make sure this goes through council before we start accepting applications, which might have been an issue last time.
So it sounds like if the board does want to kind of discuss and maybe make a recommendation on it, that's going to be something that we want to prioritize maybe for August or September. So you guys can kind of consider that, because obviously I won't be here.
The board could also hold a special meeting, say if you have time to review it, and in 2 weeks from now you could go ahead and we could hold a special meeting and the board could vote to support that and move that forward to council for consideration.
Okay. But you're going to bring us more information next month.
So in the agenda packet, the full application and the program criteria was included in there. So if you go to our website under city meetings, you should be able to look up this meeting, and then that should have all been included, and it should have also gone out in the email as well. So
sorry to jump in, I don't think it actually got attached, which is my mistake, I'm sorry, but I can send it out.
That'll be awesome.
It got fully attached.
Yeah, we'll resend it in an email.
Thank you.
Make sure everybody gets it separately.
Judy, you popped on. Do you have something?
No, I've been sitting here listening. No, I mean, I know that when you asked the question, nobody did take advantage of it. I think it is something that they, not enough information was out there. I'll be happy to do whatever I can to get that word out, because I think it's a great opportunity. And anyone that knows me, I have been screaming about downtown revitalization since I started at the Chamber. So anything we can do to make that downtown look better, I'd be thrilled.
Great. Okay, so I don't think we need to take action on that. It'll come up on in a future agenda, and you know there can be consideration of design standards and kind of grant criteria.
Mr. Chair, if I may make a request, Adam, what do you think if we email them out to make sure they've all got the application in the packet? If they could respond to you with any comments individually, we can assemble those comments and have them ready for the board at their next meeting, or even if we wind up holding a special meeting.
Yeah, I think if the board could vote now to hold a special meeting in 2 weeks to discuss this item, and we'll make sure to get those emails out and any comments we can work on individually, making sure that they're applied, and if the board wants to do that. Or it can be the next board meeting.
Either that or get you comments for the next scheduled meeting, whatever the board chooses.
Jacqueline, have we got any time in the next 2 weeks for a special meeting?
So 2 weeks from now is August 10th, which isn't available, but you could do the 11th through the 13th. And then there's also the 18th through the 20th. The 18th and the 20th. And then the next meeting is on the 24th.
What do you guys think?
I will not be available for the 10th through the 12th, but after that, I should be available.
Same. Be at GCOT conference that week.
I forgot that we're going to GCOT too. So
we've got League of Cities too.
So. Yeah, we do have League of Cities.
So maybe if I may make a suggestion out there is just maybe we'll get the emails out tomorrow or the next day, and then if the members maybe try to get a deadline within say 2 weeks to get comments back to Adam, then we'll have another 2 weeks to assemble them and get them ready for the next scheduled meeting on the 24th, if that works for the board. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Does that work for you, Adam?
Yeah, sounds good.
And Jacqueline, is League of Cities is over by the 24th?
I believe so.
It's the week before, right?
Yeah, League of Cities is the week. GCOT is the second week of August.
Okay. So that's basically a staff action. We don't have to take any, we don't have to make any decision there. Okay. Is there any more discussion or comments on the facade improvement program? If not, I want to do a slight go back to where we board member reports. And one thing that I forgot to mention is that Mark had brought up a few agenda items on a variety of topics that I think are important to consider on the agenda and in the future. I apologize, I didn't quite get to those. I've been a little overwhelmed with some things, so I take responsibility for those not being sort of acted on faster. But I want to make that statement just so everybody else on the board after my departure is aware of that, and that those kind of stay on the agenda. And Adam and I and Jackie and others have had some discussions about that, so it hasn't gone into a black hole.
Sure, sure. So I understand. Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right, so next we have number 7, new business, discussion and possible action pertaining to the appointment of a chair to the Economic Development Advisory Board.
I think what we do here is we take nominations, and then I think, do I not vote, or I guess so, I haven't officially resigned yet, so
I think,
do I not
you
vote?
You have resigned effective the end of this meeting.
Okay.
So you can vote.
I mean, I don't really care, just in case it matters.
You can.
So I don't have to look silly and ask in 2 minutes.
Yes, so you can vote, and okay, if anyone wants to nominate themselves, they can, and then they can go ahead and vote in approval.
Okay. Insanity to vote for yourself.
I'm sure lots of people do it, Vicki. How humble.
Masochist. Arden.
All right.
I'll make a nomination for Arden to be president or chairman.
No, you don't want me as chairman.
You're vice chair now. You can just move up one.
Sure.
All right.
Anyone else want to do
second.
It too?
I'll second that.
There you go. You're kind of railroaded into that one. Do we have to take a vote?
I believe we do.
In favor, yeah.
Is there any other discussion? Okay. All right. So I think somebody needs to make a motion.
I did.
Okay.
I second.
Darnell seconded.
Second. All right. We've got it. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? All right. I'm so sorry. It looks like you will still be the board chair. Congratulations. Okay. Item B, discussion and possible action pertaining to the appointment of a vice chair to the Economic Advisory Board.
I'll make a nomination for Darnell. Yeah.
Would you accept?
Yes.
Okay, I would accept. Because Vicki would be mad if I don't.
This person's not here, but I wonder if I can still nominate. Is that allowed?
Yeah, we can discuss it. And
Kay.
I think if I recall, Kay sent a message saying that she would absolutely not accept any leadership responsibilities.
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm making sure my memory. That sounds like what I recall also.
Can I also? No. Yeah, okay. There. Discussion ended, so.
Okay.
Oh, we need a second.
Mark, do you have any thoughts? Have you?
No, I'm just an idea guy.
All right. All right. Well then, are you making a motion?
I already did.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor of Donnell taking over the vice chair, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay, all those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Congratulations to both of you. With that, I think we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 6:49 and 17 seconds.